Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and thank you for joining us here on King Jordan Radio. The date is Monday night, October 14th, 2013. And we are joined today with our co-host in Chicago, the one and only Double J, JJ, joins us here on King Jordan Radio. Good evening, JJ. How are you?
Hey, King, happy Columbus Day. We got two big wrestling pay-per-views coming up. I'd like to say congratulations go to TNA Knockout Taryn Terrell, who is expecting a baby girl. She is pregnant, and it's her first child, so congratulations to Taryn Terrell.
Oh, very interesting. Very interesting. And it looks like Hulk Hogan will be re-signing, I hear, with the TNA. I just got word of that. They gave him a low blow offer. So, despite everything, despite all the wishing and thinking and hoping and whatever the deal was, not enough money for the old Hulkster to get back in the WWE. Your thoughts?
Wow. Yeah, there's lots of course rumors, especially with WrestleMania 30 coming up. I mean, that's the anniversary. You would want to have that sort of nostalgia factor in bringing in Hulk Hogan, who was at WrestleMania 1 and had so many countless WrestleMania memories. And there's lots of things they could do with Hogan as far as, you know, video games, action figures, merchandise. But, you know, I think the side is you look at Hogan and what more can the WWE do with him other than maybe a special appearance here or there. But for the most part, TNA, they're actually using him every week as the general manager. And I thought it was kind of interesting how they wrote him off when his contract expired and they had Dixie Carter on her knees begging Hogan to stay. If I'm Dixie Carter and if Hogan's going to leave my company, the last thing I want to do is beg him to stay. I want to write him off and make me, make TNA look strong. Like, oh, well, we don't need Hogan. I'm not going to beg for him. Screw him. But the way they made it seem, it just felt like he had unfinished business there and that maybe he would come back. And as you mentioned, now we're hearing that he might even be at Bound for Glory this Sunday.
Well, will be interesting, and let's take a listen to this clip about these low ratings that the Hulk Hogan situation drew, and we'll comment it on the other side.
You know, is for the people that don't like the TNA talk, you know, look, I'm really, really sorry, because, you know, sometimes there's things that are important to talk about, TNA related. And, you know, one thing that I wanted to let everybody know is that Wrestling Observer, I'm pretty sure they reported this. You know, sometimes people put out bullshit reports. I don't want to say lies, but they'll put out hunches. They'll put out things that they think are going to happen. Like, you know, some people will say, oh, you know, there's rumors that TNA may be going out of business or maybe considering this or considering that. And then they'll credit the Wrestling Observer, and the Wrestling Observer say, what? I didn't say that. What the fuck are you talking about? But there's numerous sites saying that Wrestling Observer is reporting that, you know, TNA in one shape or another will survive and will go forward. And it's also reported, if anything, it's because Spike TV will not want to lose the product. All right. And, you know, it's been speculated in the past that the Carter family may want to pull the plug on the company. But Observer's reporting that, if anything, Dixie Carter, Bob Carter, that whole family would rather sell the company than shut it down. Now, right away, when you hear all that, you have morons now saying, oh, WWE is in secret talks possibly with TNA to buy the company. Or the infamous TNA would be interested to buy, WWE would be interested to buy TNA if it was for sale or blah, 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 blah. So look, there is a lot of talk going on right now negatively. And that's why Pussy Ray, when he decided to call Kevin myself out, you fucking pussy, right? I mean, if you were trying to expand your bully character by talking to us like that on Twitter, you calling my co-host a lackey and shit like that, it didn't work by getting anybody to watch your product. So if you were doing that to extend your character, thinking that, oh, people like us maybe want to tune in and see you get your ass kicked. No, you actually rub people the wrong way even more, and more people tuned out of the product. But the thing is that this fucking pussy said all this shit about us, and now Ace of 0.8 is all about broken up. Last week, for the second week in a row, they only drew 1.1 million viewers. And right away, all these morons that said, oh, it's sweeps week. It's the beginning of the fall season for the networks. And last week, I showed everybody how in years past, how the ratings really weren't negatively affected that much. And they actually improved week after week after that. This week, they gained 5,000 viewers from the week before. 5,000. That is pathetic. And what's even worse is that everybody's pointing out, you know, and Dixie, if there was ever a reason why not to have Hulk Hogan back in your company, this is the exclamation point. So many websites are pointing out that Hulk Hogan's exit from TNA, his final appearance on Impact, that was talked about on the net for over a week. His final appearance on Impact when she was begging him in storyline to not leave, that was the, there were three other segments during the TNA show throughout the night that were higher ratings than that. I mean, do you think about that? There was actually three. I mean, it wasn't even the highest rated part of hour number two, and hour number one actually had 150,000 viewers more than Hogan's final appearance in TNA, the final segment. That should show you that Hogan didn't draw gots. Bullshit. But I have to leave everybody with this. I got to give Austin Aries a lot of credit because, you know, what's happening now is something that, you know, I really wanted to see wrestling webcasts do. If you're going to interview people in TNA, you know, hold them to the fire. I mean, if you're going to interview people in TNA when things are good, have the balls to ask questions when things are bad. You know, you want to play footsie with Eric Bischoff, that's fine. You know, but when things go bad, have the balls to ask the questions too. But, you know, people are starting to do that. And, you know, you had this busted open radio show. They interviewed Austin Aries, and they actually had the balls to ask Austin Aries on his opinion on how this buzz all around TNA is fading. I mean, that is a great question to ask, not because I like that it's fading. I don't want to see the wrestlers out of a job. I want the product to get better. But Austin Aries, you know, people say, oh, he dodged the question. It's that Austin Aries gave the most professional answer I think you can give. And he said, I know why it's gone, and I'll keep that to myself, meaning the buzz. He said, I'll keep it to myself. He says, I don't control those decisions. All I can control is what is in front of me, and I feel whatever you put in front of me, I'm going to knock it out of the park. I've always felt that way, and decisions that are made and what's going to happen creatively, that's above my pay grade. And they say, and quite frankly, it's not something that I want to stress myself out for. That man is only concerned about his work and doing the best of his ability. And I know that there's a ton of TNA fans out there that are huge Austin Aries fans. That's the right attitude to have. I mean, if everybody out there was concerned about being the best you possibly could be, trying to draw the most people, there's too many people in TNA that don't care if they perform in front of 300 people. You know, they'll always say, oh, it doesn't matter if there's 300 people or 300,000 people. We'll always bust our ass. Yeah, they bust their ass because they're wrestlers. Wrestlers are some of the, toughest motherfuckers out there, other than policemen and firemen and our military. I mean, you know, I put wrestlers up there as tough people. All right. Sure, they may get their ass kicked in real life because they're really not good fighters. You know, that what they're doing in the ring is, you know, entertainment. But, you know, the bumps and the bruises that they take and the work and the stress, I mean, you know, they have my respect, you know, completely. The personal shit's different. But the thing is that there's too many people that just don't care if there's 300 people there or not. They're going to get the same pay. And, you know, it's sad. That's really sad. And that's not the right mentality. And the problem with TNA is that there's too many people that know that aspect of their business. All right, they could hide their financials. They could cover up their pay-per-view buy rates, even though it's like 25,000 or whatever it is. I mean, there's a reason why they're only doing four. You know, oh, we feel, you know, taking one step forward, you know, it's better than taking two steps back. But you cut the pay-per-views down. You cut the house shows down. I mean, everything's being trimmed down. Why? I mean, come on. I thought it was expanding, and we're worldwide, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and blah, 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 and this is the biggest ever. Well, if I'm a successful person opening chains of restaurants, and I'm bragging that it's successful, and it's worldwide, and we're, you know, just broke the surface, I'm not going to start closing restaurants down or shutting them down for a couple of days at a time. If I'm doing well and I'm succeeding as much as I say I am, I don't cut things down significantly. That's bad. That's bad for business. Anyway.
Okay, JJ, a lot of interesting stuff out of that cut. Why don't we get into it? Starting off with the Hulk Hogan situation and the question that was given to Austin Aries.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty interesting question. I did read up on Austin Aries' response, and I think, as he said in that little package that you aired, was that, you know, he gave his professional opinion. He kind of kept his nose clean. He kind of stayed out of it, yet he still kind of addressed it. That, you know, it goes above his head. It's not, you know, his business where he talks about creative and why Hogan left or why the ratings are down. All Austin Aries can really talk about is, you know, when he's given an opportunity to be the champion or to work for the X Division title or to wrestle in the tag team division, he'll do everything he can, whether there's, you know, a couple thousand people, a couple hundred people, he's going to go out there, he's going to bust his ass regardless whether or not. He tried to skip over it, but I think he answered it the best way you could. And really, what can Austin Aries do about it? You know, he's not running TNA. He's just a wrestler. He works for TNA. He's going to do what they tell him. And yet he kept his nose clean by kind of staying out of it so he doesn't get in trouble, because the last thing he needs is to get buried because he said something he wasn't supposed to, and then TNA is going to get pissed at him, and they're going to bury him, and then we're never going to see him get opportunities again. You know, there's a lot of fans behind Austin Aries, this independent guy who came to TNA. He had a nice buzz when he was the world champion. But then, you know, for a while he kind of faded. We didn't see much of him. And now he's kind of slowly getting back into the picture.
Yeah, no question. No question about it. And Bully Ray, you know, it's one thing to say thing about Bully Ray over the phone, and it's quite another to say thing about Bully Ray over the phone. Because I know, and I met Bully Ray, formerly Brother Ray, many years back when in the ECW, when he was very close with Mr. Blackjack Brown. And he's a former bodyguard, and he's a former bouncer, and he's not one guy you really want to get into a heated conversation with. I'll just say it like that.
Absolutely, yeah. Bully Ray, you know, that's why I love this character, bully Ray, because he can really be that kind of badass in your face. You know, it's kind of great. It's something that I've always wanted to see out of him. When he was Brother Ray and part of the Dudley Boys, you know, it was fun. It was entertaining. They were just ultra violent. But I feel like this Bully Ray character, it's great, it's fun, but then he gets to be kind of dark. He gets to be in your face, and that's really who he really is. So he's able to take that and turn it up a notch and deliver as the character.
Oh, no question about it. And we have the pay-per-view coming up soon, right?
That's right.
Hell in a Cell?
Well, yeah, WWE is next Sunday. It will be the fifth annual Hell in the Cell, and it's gonna. Right now, there's a few matches that are made. We have the WWE title, which hopefully finally someone will win it. Right now, it's still vacant. We have Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan, and they put a little twist on it.
It's still vacant.
It's still vacant.
It's SummerSlam.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Bryan won the title. Yeah, he won the title at SummerSlam, but due to Triple H and Randy Orton, they cashed in Money in the Bank. Orton was the champion. Then the following month at Night of Champions, Daniel Bryan regained the title when he defeated Randy Orton, but he did so by a disqualification because the ref did a fast count. So they stripped the title off Daniel Bryan. They didn't give it back to Randy Orton. And it's been vacant ever since. I mean, we've had, like I said, we just had a pay-per-view, and there's, again, because of the Big Show interfering in the match, then there's still no champion. And now we're coming across another pay-per-view, and hopefully someone will win the title, actually, because a lot of people are upset that we have no WWE champion for the last two pay-per-views. It's ridiculous.
Oh, I'm upset. No question. That's the world title, the WWE title, and it's gone on way too long. And like I told you a couple of weeks back, I heard they're giving refunds in some states because people were so upset.
Yeah.
So, and they should. When you order something on pay-per-view, and you're going to spend close to $40, you should have a clear-cut winner, no matter what. And now, if you don't want to do it on Raw, or, any of the other programs, that's one thing. But, if you have people that are loyal fans and then paying good money, and it's not $10-$15 anymore, it's close to $40-$50 nowadays.
Yeah.
And have a champion. You know, especially at a big pay-per-view like SummerSlam, it's really bothersome that they, one of those guys don't have the belt. Really.
Yeah, and
also,
I know at the last pay-per-view Battleground, a lot of the fans at the arena were chanting refund, and I hope they got it.
Yeah, Battleground, by all accounts, was not a good pay-per-view, not a bad pay-per-view, a horrible pay-per-view. So that is bad. Anyway, have any idea what the situation is going on with the Rhodes, Cody and Goldust?
Mm-hmm.
You know, last week they were in a tag team, I believe.
That's right.
So, they had
Battleground.
What's
which
the plan?
The Rhodes, they had a tag match against Shield at the Battleground pay-per-view, which was called the best match of the night at that pay-per-view. But anyway, they had a match in which if they won, they would get their jobs back. And, of course, they won. So the next night on Monday Night Raw, they're back and they're wrestling a six-man tag in the main event of Raw. They were even in the main event of SmackDown. They took on the Wyatt family and delivered them their first loss. So the Rhodes, Cody Rhodes and Goldust are on a roll right now, and it seems that, Cody Rhodes, who definitely had such a momentum when, of course, they fired him on television, but a lot of the fans were really behind him during Money in the Bank, and, of course, Damian Sandow won. He had a nice feud with Sandow, and the fans were really getting behind him. Now you have this other storyline where they fired him and he's fighting for his job back. They brought his father, Dusty Rhodes. They brought his brother, Dustin Rhodes, Goldust. And now Goldust is back in the WWE. So the fans are really into Cody Rhodes now. He's really riding this momentum great. And I'm curious to see where they go. Will they stay as a tag team? Will he go after potentially the world heavyweight title? I don't know.
It should be interesting. And so the next pay-per-view, what is the main event?
Well, the next WWE
pay-per-view.
Which is next Sunday. It is Hell in a Cell, as I mentioned. The main
event.
Sunday
or a week from Sunday?
A week from Sunday. This Sunday is Bound for Glory, TNA's pay-per-view.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
And that'll
be
from San Diego. Should be
San Diego, I believe, yeah. That is correct. It is their 9th annual Bound for Glory pay-per-view.
Wow. That's an accomplishment.
It is. I mean, 9 years. That was one of their first major pay-per-views once they started going to Sunday pay-per-views. Because before, they were on weekly. They were a weekly pay-per-view on Wednesday. They got a deal on...
Oh, I know
on,
all about it. I've been watching TNA since the very first episode. I missed some since then, but I did watch in the early years when they had Ken Shamrock... Ricky Steamboat was in there. Hawk Animal, the Legion of Doom, Terry Funk. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. They had some big effing names there.
Oh, yeah, they did. There are a lot of nice sections.
Raven.
A lot of superstars. Raven. Raven was very interesting because he was working for the WWE, and I remember watching him on Sunday Night Heat. He was wrestling Sunday Night Heat. And then a few days later, he showed up on TNA. It was a huge shock. I didn't expect him to show up the same week. So that was pretty amazing when Raven showed up in TNA.
Oh, absolutely. And do you remember when the late, great Macho Man appeared a few times for TNA?
That was very
cool at the time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when Savage showed up in TNA, it was very big for them, and he was going after, I believe, the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. I think he even partnered up with AJ Styles, and he wanted to take on Jeff Jarrett. So it was very cool, and I wish, you know, it would have lasted a little bit longer, but unfortunately, you know, eventually Savage had to bow out. I don't know if he had an injury or something, but the very few times I saw Randy Savage in TNA was pretty cool.
But, yeah, I like to look at it. At least we had the time with Savage and TNA that we did. Because at that particular time, he was not going back to WWE.
No.
He was having some issues with them in the early 2000s. So we got to see him in TNA for about a dozen times. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there was no wrestler like Macho Man, Randy Savage. I always put him in my top five. How could you not?
Yeah, very charismatic and also just a great wrestler who really understood, you know, wrestling in the ring. He understood, getting the crowd reactions. They just loved Randy Savage. I mean, one of the favorites, you know, wrestlers of, you know, the 80s, the 90s, and the early 2000s, as you mentioned, before he retired. I mean, everybody loved Randy Savage. He was just a really great guy to watch.
Absolutely. And Warrior even said that while he says Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 6 was probably his biggest moment, his other huge moment was working with Randy at WrestleMania 7, that retirement match, working all across the coast of the Northeast and all over during the house shows. He just loved Randy because he said, and I'm quoting here, he had the intensity just as much as I did. And You know what? It's really sad when you think about it. Randy, you know, only was, I think, like 58 or 57 when he passed on. And an unusual circumstance that he actually didn't die because of any overdose or anything.
No.
His heart just gave out.
Yeah, his heart gave out when he got into that car accident. It was very sad.
Totally a very devastating situation. But I'll always say my favorite match with the Macho Man, Randy Savage, easily would be, you know, Warrior's a great match, but Ricky Steamboat and Macho Man. Any of you people listening, if you never saw that match, go to YouTube, put in Randy Savage versus Ricky Steamboat WrestleMania 3, and that is a absolute thriller, you know? That is one battle.
It inspired so many people. If you look at a lot of wrestlers today, they'll even go out of their way and say that, you know, Randy Savage, Ricky Steamboat, that made them want to become wrestlers. It was just, it really changed the era of wrestling because Savage was a very, as you mentioned before, when he wrestled and he was a savage. He really was. He was very aggressive, very mean, very physical, and yet he was very quick and he could just fly around the ring doing things that, you know, we never saw at the time, you know, flying off the top rope with his axe, you know, smash or an elbow drop or jumping outside the ropes. This was things that you didn't see, you know, super heavyweights doing back then. And it was just refreshing, and it really changed wrestling, and we really developed a quicker pace after that match.
Absolutely, no question. And, you know, you had George Animal Steel.
That's right.
4 years old at the, not Madison Square Garden, but the building next to it. And they were selling programs for $5. And back then, $5 is like $20. So,
yeah.
1987.
Wow.
Every WrestleMania 3. And I saw it on the screen there, and it was, you know, I was really into the Hogan Andre match.
But
I was just into the Macho Man versus Ricky the Dragon Steamboat match.
That was a dandy. Great wrestling and great storyline. You know, George the Animal Steel had like a crush on Miss Elizabeth, and he was kind of falling around like a puppy dog, and Savage couldn't stand it, and he just wanted to destroy him, and he challenged Ricky Steamboat, who had George Steel in his corner, and it was just, you know, it couldn't be any better. It was just the perfect match. Everything was so great about it. And it was for the Intercontinental Championship, but it didn't even have to be for a title. Just watching these guys go was just amazing.
Well, absolutely, no question. Okay, we got some things coming out. Triple H DVD. I want you also to take a listen to this guy talking about WWE Battleground Review. So let's take a listen. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll review this item here.
For those of you who are not aware, we have an official Sound Off Superstore online at solomonster.spreadshirt.com. We finally have a official logo T-shirt for the Sound Off up in all kinds of sizes and colors, including now 3XL. I had a whole lot of people write in asking me if we were going to have the bigger sizes. We do. So if you are literally a big fan of the show, you can now pick up your official Sound Off T-shirt. There's also the TNA Total Nonstop Absurdity T-shirt, which actually applied less to this week. I think Impact was a much better show than it was the previous week. But you could pick up that shirt. We also have a case, a logo case now, if you have an iPhone 5 or an iPhone 5S, a Samsung Galaxy 3. There's new items being added every week. So head over to solomonster.spreadshirt.com, buy a shirt, buy a phone case, whatever you need. Support the show. I very much appreciate it. And also, just so you know, Spreadshirt is having a special Halloween sale that only goes until Tuesday. So this Tuesday the 15th, When you make a purchase for $50 or more, you get to save $10 if you use the coupon code TREAT2013. So, again, that extends into Tuesday. If you plan on buying a whole bunch of stuff there, use that code and you can save $10. So just an FYI for anybody who's interested in buying maybe a few items from the Sound Off store. And also I want to give some shout-outs here to these people who donated via PayPal to the show this past week. My thanks to everybody who did so, their generosity. Tim Tapp, Brian Bird, John McBride, Jovan Balik, Matt Isay, and especially Chuck Lentz. You guys are awesome. Thank you for the support. And thank you to everybody who sent in birthday wishes. I had a great birthday last weekend, in part because of you guys. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. Last weekend was WWE's first ever Battleground pay-per-view, a show that will probably not be remembered, and if it is, probably not very positively. I posted my full thoughts on the Battleground pay-per-view on Monday, actually, the day after the pay-per-view, on the official Sound Off YouTube channel. So you can subscribe there. My username is TheSolomonster, all one word. If you want to type that in, subscribe. And that way, when new videos go up, you'll be informed of them. But my full thoughts are up there. Basically, just to summarize, the entire show was not a complete lost cause. I was a huge fan of the Rhodes Family match, their big win over the Shield. I thought the way that whole thing was handled was great. It was a great match, great story, great drama. The fans reacted to it. You know, Dusty gave the bionic elbow. People went nuts. I thought the finish was fantastic. Cody gave probably the best crossroads I've ever seen, thanks largely to Seth Rollins, who took it like a champ and sold it like a champ. The stuff afterwards, the family members embracing the baby faces coming out on stage, I thought that whole thing was fantastic. So I can't give the pay-per-view a complete thumbs down because of that match, but by no means was it a good show. And the main event finish was absolutely horrendous. I've seen some people attempt to defend it. There is no defense for a finish like that when people paid $50 or more for pay-per-view. You want to advance the story with Big Show. You know, they had a big payoff on Raw the next night that we'll get into in a second here. That's fine. I have no problem with them advancing the story. I happen to like part of the story they're telling. I think Big Show, at least in his role, has been great. But for a pay-per-view main event, you can't end the show that way. With a non-finish, guy comes out, beats everybody up, his music plays, there's no decision. It's ridiculous that you could actually, do that and expect people are going to turn around 3 weeks later because you got two shows in 1 month and they're going to buy your next pay-per-view. When we saw on Monday night, they're really stacking the deck for this next show, I think in part because they realize, people haven't really been thrilled with the last couple of pay-per-views since SummerSlam. We've got to really give them a reason to think this time, okay, this time we promise we're not going to fuck you over. We're going to give you a winner. We've got John Cena coming back. Shawn Michaels is going to be there. They're loading that show up, and they have to, because when you have a finish like you had at Battleground, you have people that just go, hell with it. I'm not going to buy these shows anymore. I'm either not going to watch or I'm going to stream them. Why would I spend $50 and get slapped in the face? And so anyway, I talk more about that, and I also talk about what WWE should do going forward with these non-major pay-per-view shows. There has to be a change in how they price these shows out. There just has to be, because those shows are not worth the money they're charging for them. It's interesting that fewer people are ordering these pay-per-views today compared to years ago, and yet prices keep going up, 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 and that has to change. So you could check that out on YouTube. The MP3 audio, for those who like listening to it on their device, on the their commute and what have you, in all these YouTube videos, these reviews that I do, you can find a link to the MP3 file in the video description. These things are not pushed to iTunes or Stitcher because they're intended to be exclusive to YouTube. But if you want the audio, that's how you can get it, just so you know going forward. Also, later tonight, so by the time most of you listen to this, it should be up, I'm going to get up the Triple H DVD review that I had promised a few weeks ago. The review for his new Thy Kingdom Come release is going up on the official Sound Off YouTube channel as well. The two-disc set, the big attraction, I guess, with this DVD is the documentary. They filmed a completely new documentary on Triple H's career. They have a sit-down interview with him. A bunch of new comments from guys that they brought up to Connecticut. Dave Bautista gives some fresh commentary on there. Kevin Nash. They have some old comments from The Rock, a little bit from Brock Lesnar. The Undertaker, hoodie and all, is on the DVD, out of character, giving his thoughts on Triple H and his career and his relationship with Stephanie and the advice he gave Triple H. There's a lot of interesting things and a lot of rare footage, especially footage from early on in Triple H's career that I don't believe has been included in any DVDs previous to this. There's, you know, him at Killer Kowalski school training, him wrestling on his first show, looks like an indie show in a gym somewhere. So there's a lot of interesting things like that throughout the entire documentary. They also have another disc with full matches. They have some Blu-ray extras if you have the Blu-ray version. So I go pretty in-depth into everything. If you haven't gotten the DVD or weren't even thinking about it or were on the fence, you're not a Triple H fan, you just hate the guy's guts for whatever reason, and you don't want to watch the DVD, you might want to rethink that. I give, you know, my thoughts on all that stuff, the good and the bad. It's not a perfect DVD. By no means is it the best one they've put out, probably not even in the last couple of years. But you can check that video out. If it's not up by now, it will be up later tonight on the official Sound Off YouTube channel. So please leave your thoughts, leave comments in the video, and subscribe to our channel. We'll be putting more videos like that up in the future.
Okay, JJ, I thought he came across very good in this clip. This guy, he made some very good points about Battleground and how that they're going extra with this next pay-per-view. What did you think about his take on Battleground going ahead, moving forward with the next pay-per-view?
Well, I completely agree. In fact, when we talked about Battleground, I said it's probably it's their first pay-per-view and probably their last. I mean, I don't like this, you know, two pay-per-views in 1 month. I hope they never do that again because this was a huge mistake. We had a terrible finish, and yet we have another pay-per-view to look forward to, and God knows what's going to happen there. We're hoping Cena and Shawn Michaels save everything, but they may not be enough. But I like what he said about when you look at these big major pay-per-views, these pay-per-views like WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, those pay-per-views I can understand if you're going to charge $45 to $50. But then you look at a pay-per-view like Battleground, we have Hell in a Cell now, and they still expect us to fork over $45 to $50 on these pay-per-views, in which we're seeing matches like Curtis Axel versus R-Truth, Kofi Kingston versus Bray Wyatt. And these are matches we should be on main event on the Island panel or Sunday Night Heats on Gold Day. I mean, they're not these big
house shows even.
Yeah, even a house show I could see them on. And yet we're still expected to pay a big pay-per-view price, and I think that's ridiculous. For these lesser pay-per-views, we should pay lesser, maybe even so far as $25 to $30. I think that's reasonable compared to $45 to $50 on a pay-per-view like that. I know a lot of people said Battleground was horrible, and I can't argue. I won't argue with that. But when I gave a rating, I said it was a C. Because at the end of the day, I'm a fan of wrestling. And despite the fact that Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan had a terrible finish, horrible, Big Show coming out, knocking out both of them, the match ends in a no contest, we still have no champion, it's ridiculous. However, the match between Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton was pretty good. I agree with him that the Rhodes family and Shield, they stole the show.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you have this tag match, which isn't for a major championship, it's not for the WWE title, it's not for the world title, it doesn't feature The Rock, it doesn't feature Cena or The Undertaker or Triple H, it features Cody Rhodes, Goldust, and the guys from Shield. And yet this was your match of the night. That's pretty amazing to me, that these guys stole the show. These guys who aren't main eventers, that's pretty amazing, and they deserve that. They put a great job with the storyline, the match itself. It was really the only saving grace to Battleground. If you didn't have this match, I don't even know what to say. That match really saved the pay-per-view.
No, absolutely no question about it, and we will have to see. Also, he made a very interesting point about the Triple H DVD.
Yeah.
I didn't know Batista was on it.
Yeah.
Did you?
I'm surprised to hear that. No, I didn't know Batista was on that. I do know that they said that The Undertaker, who never does these kind of pay-per-views, who never does these DVD extras. He doesn't go on commentary. He doesn't talk about the superstars. He never does this. So for The Undertaker to come out and to, you know, talk about Triple H, as you said, now they even got Batista, who's busy filming Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, the new film that's going to come out next year. They still got Batista to come out and they talk about Triple H for the DVD. I think that's pretty cool. I think when the WWE releases these kind of documentaries about their superstars, it's far more interesting to see the behind the scenes and the process that goes into, you know, what happened during these great moments in Triple H's career. You know, I saw the one that they did on CM Punk a few years ago, and I thought it was done very well. So I'm glad to see that they're doing a similar style, a documentary style on Triple H. And Triple H has had a hell of a career in the WWE. So I think it's definitely worth checking out if you haven't already.
Yeah, Triple H has had a heck of a career. If you think back when I did, because I was such a huge Ultimate Warrior, and when Ultimate Warrior was coming back, and then they announced that he'd be facing Triple H, that time, Triple H was nothing more than a jobber. Let's call it for what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing when you think he got beat in less than 60 seconds against the Ultimate Warrior. I can remember just that whole match. You know, he tries the pedigree on it. Warrior doesn't sell it. He gets right up. He barely gets his jacket off. Warrior does his finishing maneuver, the gorilla press. And 1, 2, 3, send him home. An amazing piece of history for the Ultimate Warrior. But for a second, let me just take it on to Triple H, because Warrior, I did speak to him via internet, and Jeff was also involved, and we were talking about some issues in wrestling, and he said that the way everything went down at WrestleMania 12, he said that he might have lighted a fire under Triple H, that he's going to do so good after being treated like such shit that, it's possible, but, I don't know if it's probable, but it's definitely possible that, when you get beat down like that, you're going to do everything in your power to become bigger because, 9 out of 10 guys don't want to be what Triple H was doing on that Sunday evening, 16, 17 years ago.
Yeah, I remember WrestleMania, as you said, it was a very short match, and Triple H back then was Hunter Hearst Helmsley, and he had Sable accompanying him to ringside, and it went by so fast. But I do agree. I think that when you lose at WrestleMania in like 60 seconds,
right,
it has to light a fire under your ass to come out there and to prove yourself that you're worthy. And I look at the
WWE. Lose credibility once that happens, because the eyeball on WrestleMania is way above a Raw, way above a Nitro at the time, above, even a regular WWE pay-per-view. The meaning, it's the Super Bowl of wrestling. And at that particular time, 96, 97, the WWE and WCW were really doing great. On one channel, you had Hogan and Goldberg. On another channel, you had The Rock and Austin.
That's right.
So,
they were tough.
Triple H, the best thing for me, the way I see it, is that he got hooked up with the D-Generation X gimmick.
Oh, yeah.
Because once he was able to be a part of that group, which enabled him to talk, he got the microphone more, and he became a character.
Yeah.
With the New Age Outlaws in China. And X-Pac at times, switching off at various times. But the point is, very interesting how Triple H started and know, he's married now with kids to Vince McMahon's daughter.
Yeah, of all people.
On that faithful Sunday night in California, you know, he was basically considered hogwash in the WWE at that time. So, you know, you really got to give it to Triple H for not putting his head down and saying, you know what, that's it, I'm finished, my career's over. He had his head up, and he became, you know, let's face it, he became one of the biggest wrestlers in the last 10 years. The game, Triple H.
Absolutely. I mean, 97, he was the king of the ring, but it didn't really do anything for him. I mean, he wasn't really becoming anything at that time. He was just kind of, he was just on the show. But as you mentioned, he joined, you know, DX with Shawn Michaels, and it was huge. I mean, it was one of the biggest things to come out of the WWE, and it really helped them get the ratings back from WCW. And then look at what he's done since then. In comparison, I can't help but look at what happened with Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan lost to Sheamus at WrestleMania for the world title in about 20 seconds. In 20 seconds, Daniel Bryan lost the world heavyweight title in his first WrestleMania. And you fast forward, you know, a year or two later, and now he's the biggest star in the company.
Yes, that's right. And when did Daniel Bryan come into the company?
Daniel Bryan came to the WWE in 2010, a part of NXT, the first season of NXT.
Wow.
In 2010. And since then, he already main evented WrestleMania for the world title. He's now the WWE champion. He's done so much in just three short years.
He really has, and he became one of the big figures in the WWE. Probably one of the top five fan favorites in the whole business.
Yeah, he really kind of changed things. I mean, he was one of those guys from the independents. If you look at him, he's nothing to really look at. He's kind of short in stature. He doesn't have the biggest physique. And, you know, a lot of people kind of make fun of him that he looks like someone who would be working at Best Buy or something. But he really is just...
Yeah, he does look like a guy who could work at a 7-Eleven or something even.
Yeah, but, you know, you put him in the middle of that ring, and his ability to just, his wrestling ability, his ability to connect with the fans, this yes-no thing, it's so simple, it's so basic, and yet it's something like that that it came out of Daniel Bryan, and it really launched him to being one of the biggest stars, because he gets it. And there's a lot of people who got the look, they got the physique, they got everything, but they can't figure out that next step. Daniel Bryan figured out the next step. Triple H figured out the next step. He became some of the biggest stars in the WWE.
Absolutely. And coming up at WWE Presents Hell in a Cell, it will be the championship with the special guest referee HBK, Shawn Michaels, in one corner, Randy Orton in the other corner, the one, the yes, no man himself, Daniel Bryan. What is your early prediction on that one?
Well, while I would love to see Daniel Bryan come out of that as the WWE champion, with Shawn Michaels in the corner, we all know Shawn Michaels actually trained Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is a graduate from the Heartbreak Kid Wrestling Academy. But we also know that Shawn Michaels is best friends with Triple H, and Triple H is doing everything he can to keep the title off Daniel Bryan. It's very interesting to see, where does Shawn Michaels lie? Is he going to help his student, Daniel Bryan? Will he call it down the middle? Will he help Randy Orton because he's in a favorite of Triple H? Will he screw Daniel Bryan? I mean, that's, you know, it's very interesting. A lot of people are going to be watching that match very closely to see what Shawn Michaels does.
No question about it. I mean, you have you had Triple H as a special ref at SummerSlam for a reason, and you saw what happened as he turned on Mr. Bryan.
Yeah.
Now, what I see, the way I see things is they're going to reverse it this time, and Shawn will be the one that helps Mr. Daniel Bryan to victory.
Wow. I like that. Super.
To get revenge, sort of, with Triple H. There's some rumors going around that Shawn Michaels might have one more match, which I would love to see personally.
Yeah.
And I take that, but, you know, it's just a rumor, since he's back in the limelight a lot. What's your thoughts on that?
You know, again, Shawn Michaels, you can't take anything away from his in-ring ability. He's Mr. WrestleMania. I mean, he's a showstopper. I mean, he is really one of the greatest talents that came out of the WWE, and it would be amazing to see him wrestle one more time. I do know that he takes that retirement match he had with The Undertaker very seriously. He doesn't really want to come back full-time or part-time, but, you know, everybody wants to see him come back just one more match. And really, what better way to do it than at WrestleMania 30 if they could find a way to bring him in part of this picture with Daniel Bryan and Triple H, and he's in the middle of it. You know, they don't have to have a technical wrestling match. Maybe they have a street fight. That way they could say, well, he's retired from wrestling, but this isn't wrestling. This is a fight. So maybe they can bring him back that way. I mean, I don't know. It's just speculation. Shawn Michaels might not ever step foot in a WWE ring again, but you never know. Never say never.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Shawn definitely has another match. I think personally has another couple matches, but I think definitely has one last match. And at WrestleMania, if Triple H wants to lace up the boots one more time, and if what happens, what I said, this Sunday, they could start the angle right there.
Oh, yeah, Triple H, Shawn Michaels.
Start
that's
preparation.
Huge. Exactly. I mean, they did that once before when Shawn Michaels hurt his back and he kind of stepped away from the WWE. But then they kind of brought him back a few years later, and then his first big feud was with Triple H. He was fighting Triple H, and they had this big back and forth for the World Heavyweight title, which was just brought in. They had two separate titles in the WWE for the first time, and Shawn Michaels had the first ever victory at the first Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, in which he won the world title, and he beat Triple H. So it was a very big time, and that was, you're talking about almost maybe 10, 9, 8 years ago. So it would be amazing to see Shawn Michaels. I definitely agree with you, King. He is in great shape. He's been keeping very, active, and I think he does have that one big match left in him. He could probably even do a dozen more matches, but he definitely has it in him.
No question about it, and we shall see what happens. Okay, I want to play a clip. This is RVD's contract status. We'll come back on the other side, and we'll talk about RVD.
Vicky introduced Ricardo Rodriguez as Alberto Del Rio's opponent. Then she revealed that at Hell in a Cell, he'll defend the world title against John Cena. Ricardo snuck up behind him, got the pin, and Del Rio destroyed him on the outside after the match. Put his arm in a chair, put him in the arm bar. Let me also just mention this about Rob Van Dam, because there's been a lot of reports from different websites on the internet, some that say Rob Van Dam is, you know, on bad terms with WWE, he didn't sign a new contract. That is not the case. RVD had a clause built into his contract where he would wrestle, I think, for the first 90 days or so, and then he gets a break because he's got outside projects and he can kind of recharge his batteries and not be on the road all the time. That's the deal that he made with Triple H. They made that deal one-on-one. I don't know that Vince McMahon was really involved in anything other than just signing off on the contract. So RVD is still technically with WWE. He's just taking a break. Apparently he can take as long as he wants. My guess would be we'll see him back around Royal Rumble time. I'm sure he'll want to be back in time for WrestleMania. So things are fine. He'll be back. It's up to him when he comes back. There's no new contract to be signed. He already has a contract, and he has some free time built into it, which quite frankly I think more guys in his position should have. And I think going forward we're going to see more of this. I have people who email me sometimes and go, oh, should there be a wrestling off season? I don't think a wrestling off season would ever work. I mean, just for the fact alone that you probably have a USA Network that would balk at the idea. You know, what are you going to We're not going to have wrestling on our network that we pay millions of dollars for 2-3 months at a time. I don't think they're going to go for that. And I think a better solution to the problem would be to have mandatory time off, mandatory vacations for the talent. You kind of rotate them out. So let's say if you have one big star like a CM Punk who's all banged up, but he's due for a vacation, right? It's set in advance that at this point in the year, you're going to have 3 weeks off, let's say. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. And you build your storylines around that so him leaving doesn't interfere with anything, whether you do an injury angle or you just, you know, don't even say anything and just let him take a few weeks off TV. And as long as it doesn't overlap, so you don't have John Cena and CM Punk and Randy Orton out at the same time, you come up with a system to rotate guys out and give them a break. I think that's a system that would probably work out much better. That way you don't have to shut the whole company down for months at a time. And RVD, I think this kind of deal that he has is a sign going forward of things to come. I think there's going to be more guys who are kind of in the same position as him. They're not rookies. They've been around for a while. And you just kind of rotate those guys out or give them some mandatory time off, even if they don't want to take time off. You mandate. It'll be paid time off for these guys so that they can recharge their batteries, heal up, and then come back fresh. And they may come back fresh to TV storylines, too. It gets boring sometimes seeing these guys over and over again, especially when they don't have any meaningful direction. I think that's why a lot of people got so sick and tired of seeing Sheamus on TV. I mean, what the hell was Sheamus doing before he got hurt? Nothing. He was a man without a program. He wasn't, you know, feuding with anybody at the time. The only person he's really feuded with all year was Mark Henry. He was doing some stuff with the Road Scholars, and nobody cared. That wasn't a real feud. If a guy like Sheamus, if you mandated that this guy get, you know, 3 weeks off and then he comes back and you've got a plan in mind for him, great. Maybe people wouldn't be so sick and tired of him. So I think going forward, that's the direction that, you know, they may be going in.
Well, JJ, I think he brings up an excellent point with the timeout and a mandatory one and good news with the RVD situation. What about you? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's great. I agree with 100% that these guys, they need a vacation. They need time off. I'm not saying to, you know, let them go away completely, but, you know, give them a break. Let them heal their wounds. Let them get a timeout because, as we said before, when you see these guys, you know, every week, sometimes even twice a week, if they're on Raw and SmackDown, it gets to be too much.
Oh, yeah.
They're sick of Cena. A lot of fans are sick of seeing Daniel Bryan, every whatever. They're sick of CM Punk, Sheamus, Rey Mysterio. And these guys are killing themselves. They're all beat up, you know. And, you know, it would be refreshing for them and for us to see new people get the ball and rise up, whether or not they can sink or swim. As far as Rob Van Dam is concerned, I think it's great what he's doing, and I'm hoping that, you know, he takes his time, let him recharge. He had a great comeback with the company. I mean, he had some great matches with Chris Jericho, the Money in the Bank ladder match. He had some awesome matches, Del Rio for the world title, the non-title, at the pay-per-views, and now he's taking a break. He's healing his wounds. He's doing his own thing. I believe even on Twitter, he announced that he had to go back to the recording studio to film dialogue because RVD was featured in the Saints Row 4 video game, which I believe is a part of some DLC pack or whatever. But, you know, RVD's doing things. He's enjoying his time off. He needs a break. He doesn't like that traveling schedule that, you know, 360 days a year. I mean, it's insane. It burns these guys out, and it makes them sick of what they do. And they shouldn't be sick. You know, they love it. We love it as fans. I think this works out for everyone.
No question about it. And what are you expecting to go down tonight on Monday Night Raw?
We just heard this weekend that Bray Wyatt is hurt. He wrestled a house show and he got hurt, so he's probably going to be taking some time, not off, but he won't be in the ring or wrestling. He'll probably just be accompanying his Luke Harper and that Reigns guy, and they'll just be featured, you know, rooting them on. But I know there's going to be developing this whole feud with Ryback and CM Punk. Last week, CM Punk and R-Truth got a victory over Curtis Axel and Ryback. So you should look for Ryback to get revenge, possibly even demolish either R-Truth or CM Punk. Alberto Del Rio, as they mentioned, will be facing John Cena at Hell in a Cell. John Cena is coming back from a torn tricep injury, and a lot of people came back too soon, but they're saying his tricep tear wasn't a full tear, it was a partial tear, so you know, he got 2 months, he's a quick healer, so I hope he's safe, I hope he doesn't re-injure it, and I hope he comes back to the pay-per-view strong. A lot of people predict that Cena will take the belt off Del Rio, but we shall see. There's also, they fired Big Show last week on Raw, so there's been an online petition to bring back Big Show, which Zack Ryder, Daniel Bryan, the Bellas, and whoever, you know, posted about it online. So we should see Triple H, Stephanie address that tonight on Raw. And Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels in the middle of Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton. That should be huge. Whether or not we hear from the showstopper, you know, tonight or next week, or maybe we won't see him at the pay-per-view, but tune in and find out. You know, Shawn Michaels is always a controversial figure in wrestling, and he's entertaining, and the fans just love seeing the Heartbreak Kid. So hopefully tonight we have a good Raw on our hands.
No question about it, and they'll be live from St. Louis. And funny, because the Cardinals of St. Louis baseball are in the ALCS, 2 wins away from, if they can get another 2 wins, they'll be in the World Series. So
wow.
Things are looking good in St. Louis. Enjoy Raw, everybody. JJ, I want to thank you a million for coming on King Jordan Radio and talking some good old wrestling.
Hey, my pleasure, King. Anytime.
Okay. Yes. So I guess we'll speak to you next Monday at same
all
panel,
right,
same time, same place.
Happy Columbus Day.
Happy Columbus Day to you, too. Okay, JJ. Take care.
All right. Bye, King.
Okay. And, folks, I just want to let you know that you could hear the replay of what you're hearing right now by stopping it and then playing it. You could fast-forward any part of this just by pressing the fast-forward button. And also, yesterday we had a lot of callers. If you want to hear a very interesting phone call I did on the radio show with Miss Pearl Jr., Michael Jackson, did Michael Jackson fake his death? I suggest you do is go to facebook.com/KingJordanRadio and then you put, excuse me, and you put Pearl Jr. there, and you'll find her. And that's one quick way. And very, very animated and interesting. I'm going to take a listen to it. If any of you are interested in... before that, let me tell you where to find me. King Jordan Radio on Facebook. Facebook.com/KingJordanRadio. Let's see. Also, Facebook, excuse me, find me, tweet me at Mr. King Jordan. And like that, that'd be great. Again, I am always looking for new talent along with JJ to better the show. To maybe have another day where we're talking post games about pay per views. So if you are interested, please contact me through Twitter or Facebook. All right, folks. What I'm gonna do is leave you with Hulk Hogan's Real American, since he was basically the big topic. The good old Hulkster always seems to keep himself in the news. Oh, yeah, what you gonna do, brother, when the Hulkster runs wild on you? Here we go. I am a real American. Fight for the